Well, we are we're back to our topic of living a holy life, but it seems like we've taken a little different slant here, and our focus has been developing a relationship with God. First we must have a relationship with God, obviously, to develop it. But that's really where we've been, is what are some things, what's our responsibility? And what are some things we can do, a place we can put ourselves in to develop that relationship that is above all other relationships, that is more fulfilling, more satisfying, that we were built for. And so one of the things we talked about last week is responding to what God has put on your heart, to what He's revealed to you in the Word, to what you just know your next step is. Your step of obedience, your step of doing something, maybe your step of stopping something that you're doing. But that God is faithful to deal with us and put things on our heart, on our mind, something that stands out in the Word as you're reading. But our tendency is, it impacts us for that minute, but then no real change takes place. We just let it go to the side. Well, last week, I challenged you to write down something that God was dealing with you on. Your next step could be something simple about reading the Word, about prayer time, about participating in body life. It could be just, could be loving your wife or respecting your husband or whatever. But I asked you to write that down. So remember, we came to the conclusion that this series is very interactive. You can't just sit there and this be cerebral. How about that? No, I looked around for corrections on pronunciation. I didn't see any. That means this is not a thinking, just a brain thing. This is a doing thing. I think that's what that means. This is not a mental exercise. Just take some action on your part. And I ask you to share that with somebody. If you just keep it to yourself, nothing generally happens. But if you share that with someone, you get some accountability, God uses that. So, there's another opportunity there. When you share that with somebody, if it's something real, they've probably seen it as some action you need to take. And they may be able to shed some more light. A lot of times things look differently from the outside than they do. By the time we see something needs to be done, everybody else has been seeing it for a few years probably. So, it's good to share it and get some input. Anybody do that? Anybody write it down? What your next step was? Good job, guys. I was serious. There were people back there behind you that wasn't he sarcastic. So think about that. You know, as we're going through this, you know, God works like this. I don't understand exactly how this happens. As we're doing this, even as in my weak way of teaching and sharing the Word, the Holy Spirit will bring things to your mind. Will He not? Have you sat here and somehow God uses this and He brings things to your mind? Well, don't just let them slide on through. Write them down. Talk to somebody about them. Follow through. Because if you're going to develop a relationship with God, it requires you responding to Him. You must respond to Him. It's not like just having a conversation with someone where you talk and they talk. Well, God does speak to you and you talk back to Him. You pray and you read the Word. But a part of the relationship is action, is you responding to what He puts on your heart and mind. Holiness is so much more than what you don't do. It's even so much more than what you do. It's a change of the heart. But we were created to do His will. We were created to, doing is an action. We were created to do His will. And we don't have a clue as to how much we resist this. We resist doing His will, taking action on what He puts on our hearts and our minds. That's one reason I'm standing up here. He can put something on your heart and your mind, but I can urge you to do it. And that's part of my purpose. You know the prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that where it says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God's perfect will is done in heaven. His will is done on this earth. But you know that is not just a general phrase of your will with the nations and the end times, and your will be done on earth as it ends up. It's very personal. Your will be done on in my life as it is in heaven. In my very life, my personal way of doing things. And there's a quote there from a William Law that I wrote down. It's on your outline on the back of your bulletin. It must be, this is about doing God's will. It must be the settled purpose and intention of your heart to will nothing, design nothing, do nothing, but insofar as you have reason to believe that it is the will of God that you should desire, design, and do. That God is the center of everything we do. Now that can be a challenging thing. But I want you to see how this is within the context of a relationship. That everything we do is in response to the will of God, to God's desires for us. He is the creator. He's not just a friend. He is our friend. And you remember in Genesis where God used to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day and have conversation with them and fellowship with them. And we still have that. We still can have that. But it's not just that. It is also doing the will of God. Adam and Eve were also responsible to do the will of God. And this is His design. If we know His will, and we are not doing it, the relationship comes to a grinding halt. That's serious. If you know God's will, some area of your life, either in big, sweeping, general areas or in specific areas, if you know His will and you are refusing to do it, and that's what it is if you're not doing it, you're refusing to do it. If you refuse, you have just put a stop to the relationship. Taking action and being obedient is critical to the relationship with God. It stops when you quit being obedient. It stops. Now, some of it is we don't know what to do because we're not listening. We may not be listening to God. And we're still held responsible for that if He's telling us something, but we're just not listening. It might be right there in the Bible as plain as day, but you're not picking up the Bible to read it. And you never know it, and someday you'll be responsible for that because it was available there for you to read. Sometimes, you know, with people that are not faithful in participating in the teaching of the body and the preaching of the body, I believe that God, if you neglect that, being a part of the body, God may have something for you there, and you were not there, and you did not hear it, and God holds you responsible for it. Because you were not listening to Him. So, even if you're not aware of something, it may just be, you just need to get to listening to God, and then you'll become aware of it. Now, the relationship, what I want to pound into you today, the relationship is not just spiritual, you know. It drastically changes how you live. Or there is not a relationship. If it does not change how you live, there is not a relationship. The soil, remember we talked about the soil? That Jesus is the sower, sowing seeds into your life. And sometimes the soil is rocky and sometimes it's a path, and sometimes it's choked out by weeds and other worries and cares of life. Or the soil can be deep and fertile and produce a crop 40, 50, 60 times greater. Well, what keeps the soil deep and fertile is responding to God. When we quit responding to God, it's like the soil becomes shallow. The seed doesn't stick. The seed is still being sown, but it doesn't stick. So we must maintain the fertile soil of producing a crop by being obedient to what He puts into our life, by what He brings us. Let's go to Matthew 7:24.
6:24-27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Sometimes we think of Jesus' example of holiness as just walking around in robes and talking about his Father. You know, the Bible tells us that he was obedient, that he did the will of the Father. He took action. Let's go to another verse, John 4:34. You know, so many times as we are studying these things, there are things in our culture that stand out to me. We consider a person spiritual and religious if they just talk about it. They just talk about it. You know, people get away with that in our culture. They can just talk about spiritual things and seem spiritual and their life not reflected at all. But if they talk about it and they can talk a pretty good game, we accept them as if they were spiritual. But that's not what the Bible says. It must be seen. Let's go to, I already told you, didn't I? John 4:34. My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. And let's go to another verse in John. John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, there's another word that's used in some translations that says, if you abide in me, if you are connected to me, if you have fellowship with me, then you will bear fruit. You see how relational, a part of the relationship is obedience, is taking action on what you believe. If you are connected, if you have a relationship with God, if you are submitted to Him and walking with Him, you will bear fruit. Both fruit of your character, which is the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, those. And fruit of ministry, where there will be fruit. You will have fruit. You will have an impact on other people's lives. Let's go to still in chapter 15 of John, verses 15 and 16. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This fruit producing, this taking action, flows out of abiding with Christ. It flows out of quietness with Him. Focusing on Him. Reflection on Him. Yet, it's not all that. It also is bearing fruit that will last. Do you see there where it says our purpose is to bear fruit? Our purpose is to produce. Our purpose is usefulness to God. We don't really like to think about that like that. But our purpose is to be useful in the kingdom, to be useful for God. Now, this does not mean that you have a MapQuest route of your whole life laid out where you know exactly where you're headed and what you're going to do. You may not understand the how or the why of the past or the future. but obeying and staying on the road of usefulness is God's purpose for you. That means you may not understand the reason everything that comes into your life, why it came into your life. You may not understand the past. You may not know what your next steps are in the future. But God's plan for you is that you stay on the road of usefulness no matter the circumstances. Now, this does not mean that there will be no struggle. And it does not mean that you have to be perfect in the struggle. We all go through struggle. And we don't all handle struggle. None of us handle struggle and trials perfectly. To be useful does not mean that you have to maintain perfection within the struggle. You know, I know of a hypothetical person that just went through some difficult things. Losing a job, some major things, other things going on in their life. But in the midst, the very midst, while the weight was heavy and the struggle of seeing the need of another person that was in need and reaching out to that person, in the midst of the struggle, yet staying in the battle. Does that make sense? We are not to allow our circumstances to take us out of the battle. That's what is expected of you. Perfection is not expected of you in the trial and in the struggle. But what is expected is that you stay in the battle, that you stay useful, that you keep your eyes on Jesus, that you remain available for Him, that you don't become self-absorbed and self-focused, that you do not become distracted by indulging in the flesh, by unwise living, by pity parties, but you stay in the battle. Not that you handle it perfectly. Never imagine that pressure to be on you, that you handle every struggle and every trial perfectly. But this pressure is on you that you stay in the battle, that you keep your sword out, that you not get sidetracked. That's expected. We need, part of this is living with eternity in view. And I just had a conversation about this yesterday, that life is short. It is short. And you know, you pass that 40-year mark. Nobody in here has done that, but you pass that 40-year mark and you realize that you may have lived more years than what you have left to live. But when you look at that in terms of eternity, it is really short. And, you know, my job and the job of the other elders is to keep you on the road to usefulness during this short amount of time that we have here. Like Jesus, to be about doing the will of God and being conformed to His image. Let's go to Ephesians 4:12, just for a brief look at our job. Ephesians 4:12. 12 and 13. A little bit on 11 there. Ephesians 4:11, actually. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, becoming mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know, I don't think we understand how serious God views obedience, taking action on what He puts on your heart and your mind. I'm telling you, if you're not taking action on what God has put in your heart and your mind, you may imagine the relationship to continue and grow, but you remain stagnant and the years can pass by and no maturity takes place. And what's the problem? You're not having a relationship. You're not obeying.
You're not obeying. That's part of the relationship.
And just, I want to, you know, in James, we won't go there, but James 1:20, he says, I will show you my faith by what I do. I'm not all talk. You'll see by how I live what I believe. And let's take another look at a little bit of a different perspective on God's view of obedience and how we live our life. Matthew 12:30. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. If you are in this state of disobedience, if you are not responding to God, then you are against him. You may very well be a Christian, but instead of gathering, instead of doing the work of the Lord, instead of building up the kingdom, you actually could be in the place of dividing the kingdom, hurting the kingdom. He's saying it's only two choices. Either you're with me or you're against me. At any moment in time, either you're with me or you are against me. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, all the way back towards Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. I'm going to surprise some of you. Now, some of you have been through this before. But, you know, when you accepted Jesus, if you have done this, if you have turned to God and said, God, I have sinned against you. I've rebelled against you. I deserve death. Take the death of Jesus in my place. I confess, I sinned, I deserve death, but take his death in my place. I will follow him. Well, your sins are paid for. Your sins are paid for. He doesn't have to die again if you sin. If you're driving down the road and you have a sinful thought and you crash into a tree, you're still going to heaven. Okay? You're still going to heaven. The sin is paid for. Now, but obedience and how you live is very important to God. And you look at that verse. If you are living in disobedience and you die, you don't have to pay for your sins. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You don't get to heaven and you see this reel of a video of all the sinful things you've done. That's not going to happen. Your sins are paid for. They are gone, gone, gone. But if you are not living for God, if you are not making eternal investments, from this, you'll see, you can, at the coming of Christ, you could be ashamed at his coming because you are not making eternal investments. You're living for yourself. And we'll see how he stresses this, and we tend to skip over this. But let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:9. Did I read first? Yeah, I read 1 John there. 1 John 2:28. Do not being ashamed at his coming. Didn't I read that? Okay. Okay, we're going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for things done in the body, whether good or bad. Now, don't be confused here. This good or bad is not like morally good or bad, but it's if you have lived in your own strength, if you have not, your acts will be judged the way you have lived. If I'm standing up here and I'm teaching you right now, and if I'm not relying on God, if I'm doing this in my own strength, then that, I don't get punished for that. I get no reward. My reward is taken away in that sense that that is deemed bad. This act right now, do you know I'll stand before Jesus at the bema, the judgment seat of Christ, and I'll be judged for what I'm doing right now. And it'll either be good or bad. Now, I don't get beat up or whipped or punished, but I get no reward. But if I am doing this in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit and relying on him, then I will be rewarded for right here, what's happening right now. It will be remembered. And the same in how everything we do and how we live our life. And 1 Corinthians 4:5 says that our motive will be judged. Not just the action, but our motive will be judged. And Romans 14:12 says that we will give account of ourselves before God. So, let me ask you. Are you investing your time, your resources, your money, your energy into this life or the next? You can go back and read that quote, that first quote I read. Is everything you do for the will of God, for His purposes? What is the eternal impact, you could ask, about everything that you do? Are you sinking a big portion of your life in the things that will not matter for eternity? If you are, then you're not living and doing the will of God for the majority of your life. Let's go to another verse, 1 Corinthians 3:9. I'm trying to emphasize to you God's view of obedience. Not only is it part of our relationship with Him here and now, it affects all of our eternity, our obedience to Him. 1 Corinthians 3:9 through 15. Follow along with this and just, or listen carefully. So here's the deal. Let me just outline this for you a little bit. All Christians, if you have done what I talked about earlier, you've accepted the substitutional death of Christ in place of you, and you have the Holy Spirit living in you. If you're a Christian, you don't go to the great white throne judgment at the end of time. That's when the sinners are sent to where they're going to go. But as Christians, we go to the judgment seat of Christ, and our works will be judged, and we'll receive our reward. And in Revelation, you may have read where it says the linen robes of the saints are the righteous deeds of the saints, that we will receive reward for the righteous deeds, how we live here on this earth. It's a sense of reflecting the glory of God. But we'll get into that in just a minute. So listen to these verses. That's some of what this is talking about. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. What he has built survives, he will receive his reward. But if it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. So, all of how I live my life, the everyday deeds and actions of my life will be tested by fire. In other words, if this thing's done in my own strength for selfish motive, just for worldly gain, just for this life here, then it'll be burned up. Only those things done with eternity in view that affect eternity, that fall in line with God's will and obedience to Him, those things I will receive reward for. Now, most of us do not realize the emphasis that Christ puts on serving, on bearing fruit, and on making disciples. It is vital. It is a vital part of our relationship with Him right now, of our obedience. But it's also a vital part of our reward in eternity. Is, are we investing in eternity? Are we just investing in this life? Are we building our kingdom here? Are we building and laying up treasure in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy? And where it will be multiplied 100 times. But just as a note, do not think for a minute that we can earn a reward through our own design or our own doing. So let's go, just as a balance, let's go to Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So, here it is.
Am I living in my own strength? Or am I living connected? Am I living dead to self? Am I living in dependence on God? Am I trusting Him in what I'm doing, in the action I'm taking? If I am, He is actually living His life through me. That's when you see the fruit. That's when you see the love and the joy and the peace and the faith. That's when you see that, is when Jesus is His, He makes it possible to obey the command because He's doing it through us. So let me get this straight. Then I get rewarded for what Jesus does through me. Think about that. I get rewarded eternally for what Jesus does through me. Is that how it works? That is how it works. What I do in my own strength, the motive is not going to be good. What He does through me is going to be pure and holy. So I actually get rewarded for what He does through me. It will actually bring glory to Him in eternity. And that will be the criteria on which our work will be judged. Let's go to Mark 9:41. I tell you the truth. Anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. Nothing, not the smallest act done in dependence on God and the name of Christ for his sake will be forgotten for all of eternity. There will be a reward for it. This may surprise you. I hope it doesn't. This may surprise you. But God's goal is not to make you more comfortable and more fulfilled in this life. That's not His goal. It's to make you more useful for Him through a relationship. And of course, when you walk with Him in this fashion of hearing and obeying, then your life will be full of wisdom and joy and peace and overflowing with hope. But His purpose is not to make you more comfortable or even more fulfilled. His purpose is that you'll have a useful life with His purposes at the core of everything you do. So this life of Christ living in you is not theoretical. It's not cerebral. It is daily sacrifice. It is responding to Him and to His Word. And it's living for eternity. It's living with an eternal perspective. You know, when I first started thinking like this, I kind of gave myself a little test. Every time I made a decision to do something, I would think, what's the impact on eternity for what I'm doing? And how much of my time am I spending with the temporal thing of this will impact this life, but it goes no further. It's just for this life. It's just for self, really. Or am I investing in other people? Am I investing in the kingdom? Am I doing things that are of eternal value and significance and making an investment for eternity? Let's go to Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Kind of with this in mind, this eternal perspective we're talking about in mind. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And so many times those things of the world that seem harmless to us, that seem neutral, so many times we get so caught up in those things that it takes from us time, energy, resources that could be invested in eternity and for eternal things. And God will put specific things on your heart and on your mind. It may be reaching out and connecting to someone that you don't really seem to have anything in common with. Now, the way God does this is usually within the context and unity of the body. Because if we labor for Him without accountability or partnership and without submission to authority, it breeds independence and pride. He desires us to do this in partnership and in context of the body. But if the life of Christ is in you, and that is being seen, it's a genuine love for the body and a passion for the lost. It's not living for this world, but living for the next. So, to wrap up, maybe you've noticed, or maybe you haven't, that God has been blessing us. People are being drawn to God. People are being drawn to Him. There's people that are not with us, that have not even been here on a Sunday, that are being drawn to God. And so, I'm not looking too far ahead when I say that you are needed. You are needed. Your investment is needed. The whole body has to be about the work of disciple making and building up the body in partnership and in unity. And this has been happening. It has been happening. But our body has been working together. But it takes the frame of mind and heart that we have been talking about today. It takes being obedient to the next thing that God is putting on your heart and your mind if you would stay on the road of usefulness to God. Because you are needed. Every part here is needed because God is moving and God is working. And two or three people cannot carry that load if it's going to be done right. It needs to be done with the whole body working together in unity. But if we are so busy investing everything we have and everything we are in temporal things, then we're not going to be on the road to usefulness for God. So, whatever God has put on your mind and on your heart, obey, and the relationship with Him will develop. That's how it is. That's how it works. You obey with what He's dealing with you on, the relationship will develop, and you will be useful for Him, and you will lay up treasure in heaven. If you will do that, if you will just obey the next thing, then you can be a part of disciple making. And you'll say, wait a minute, I'm not ready, I'm not trained or equipped. Well, you're in the process of being trained and equipped. So you can get busy. You can be on the road of usefulness to Him if you are just in relationship with Him. What does it mean to be in relationship? It means you are being obedient to the next thing He's put on your mind and on your heart. You're in the Word. You're praying. You're doing the next thing He puts on your mind and on your heart. You're allowing yourself to be held accountable with people you share that with leadership. That's how it works.